Welcome to another exciting episode of the NIDS View, a weekly show of the National Institute for Deterrence Studies, where we are advancing peace, promoting stability, and helping you to think deterrence. Each week, we discuss and analyze a recent topic and provide insight into how it affects our national deterrence. We hope you enjoy this show.
Welcome back to another great episode of the NIDS View, a podcast of the National Institute for Deterrence Studies, where the opinions expressed are those of the participants and not necessarily NIDS. So today we have a great discussion about a foreign affairs article written by our good friend Frank Miller and, of course, Madeline Creedon. The article was a great one. It was called Deterring the Nuclear Dictators to Confront China, Russia, and North Korea. Trump should forgo a review and speed up the arsenal's modernization. And they make, you know, a novel argument that, you know, no one has made that I've heard over the last three, four administrations. And of course, and I'll quote from early in the article, what needs to be done is clear. The next administration should dispense with undertaking an extensive review of either the nuclear deterrence policy or modernization plans. There is a huge need to just get on with the work of modernization and fix the problem. And their argument is basically don't do an NPR. It takes too much time, too much manpower, too much money, and essentially nothing happens while you're undertaking that NPR, that nuclear posture review, and they say skip it. And that's, you know, something we've not seen before. And so, of course, we thought, hey, what a great topic. So with that, let me, Curtis, what's your take on this?
Well, first of all, let me say that my views don't represent the government or anybody else that I'm associated with. Okay, so let me say that the authors Madeline Creedon and Frank Miller, these are just huge thinkers in this world that we, this orbit that we're in, if you will. And so it's very hard for me to publicly disagree with them, but I will. So, first of all,
I'm glad your views are your own, Curtis.
The views are my own. I'm going to be on my own on this one. Hey, so I think this is really sort of a kind of a weird argument to have. I totally agree with Frank and Ms. Creedon that we are way behind. Modernization's got to be focused. There's a lot of things that need to go on. And I'm sure we'll get more into this as we go on. But here's the thing about an NPR. First of all, this is a unique situation here where we already have a Trump NPR. Okay, so we don't have to build a new one. We just need to take the 2018 NPR, blow the dust off of it, get the digits for it and update it to reflect the current situation in the world, the current status of the modernization effort, which is bad, and reflect whatever new goals that the president might have since 4 years have passed since he's been in this position. And I think this is worthy because the NPR brings the strategic communication in several different ways. And we've had several podcasts on strategic communication, including the previous one. And that is as it must convey to the force, to Congress, to our allies, and most importantly, our adversaries, what is important to the Trump administration with regard to nuclear deterrence. And I think, the purpose of that is can't be ignored. The communication to the world is the most important thing here. And adding more ambiguity to this question, I don't think helps where we are. Next, the document does three things at the very least, in addition to strategic communication. And that is, it's a requirements document. It sets forth to specifically the force, that when they are working their palms, working their budgets, that they can point to a document and says, it says right in here, General, that we're supposed to have this. So we need to be funding for it. It's important to the commander in chief. Second, it lays out timing issues. Because of the cycle of way things are going, it will set that by virtue of the fact that we'll set priorities. That's the third item. We got to have some priorities here. We need to know what we need versus what we can do without or have delayed, but we need to know in what order do we need these things. And I think if we can have a document that sort of updates what the old NPR was under Trump, the realist world view, and then ensure that the requirements, the timing, and the prioritization is clearly articulated in there. Then they have a document, a public document, that both the president, Congress, the chairman, the SecDef, everybody who's engaged in this can look at the industry and say, this is why we need you to speed up the modernization issue that I think the two authors were most concerned with.
Interesting. I wonder, though, do you think that, I think it was your second point, in terms of requirements documents, don't we have other requirements documents that are, I mean, without it, let's suppose you were to just dump the NPR and say, we're not going to have any NPR. This one's terrible and we don't want to spend time, you know, to write a new one. You would still have all the requirements documents. You would still have all that. And you would have, you know, you've got the GEF and the nuclear annex, and you've got all the stuff that tells the force how to operate, and NSA has its marching orders, and we still have that. So, I mean, I agree with you. It's sort of your main outwardly focusing strategic communications tool. But, you know, if you're going to update it, do you also have to go through sort of the normal process where, I mean, there's a ton of people involved and everybody coordinates and you fight out where you disagree, and that's part of why they take a year or more. Do you get, say, you know what, we're not going to do that. I'm going to have one dude or dudette or two dudettes, you know, update it and nobody gets a say, and that's just what we're going to do. Would you slim the process, or would you, you know, because there's a formal process that, you know, we go through every time. Do we dump that process? Do we create a new one? What does it look like?
Yeah, you streamline the process. So the NPR is like every other, you know, bureaucratic document. It's a function of product and process, and so you can streamline the process in such a way that leadership can really do this quickly. And I think you don't need a large team of people, because you're not reshaping policy. When policy went from Obama to Trump to Biden, each time it was a reinvention of the policy because they were so different. And this needs to happen again, because the Trump 2.0 is going to be a different policy than the Biden administration. And if you don't fix the umbrella document, then all of the other sub documents that refer to that, I think are actually going to be harder to change out, because now you're going to have to root them out and make sure that they're matching each other and that they're informed by the right people. And nobody sees it, because all of those documents that you're talking about, Adam, are largely, you know, in the, you know, behind closed doors or classified in some manner. And it becomes much more difficult and much less transparent. I think the one thing about nuclear and deterrence writ large, it is more effective when it is transparent and clear, not only to the American people, but to the allies and adversaries who are looking at these things. To me, if there's the one document we have to produce, it's this one. There are plenty of public documents we could probably do without. This isn't one of them, in my opinion.
What if, and I want to bring this up, I know Jim was going to say this, so I'm going to cut him off because this was his suggestion.
He isn't saying anything.
What if we take the 2018 NPR, we give it to, OpenAI or Siri or one of those, and say, Siri, OpenAI, update this, or ChatGPT, that's what I'm thinking of, ChatGPT, update 2018 NPR for current circumstances. And then boom, we've got it in what? A matter of a couple minutes. None of the other stuff is necessary. AI's finally done its job. What do you think?
Yeah, well, that's interesting, but
that was a great idea on your part, Jim, by the way.
I'll tell you what, I don't know where in my head you were, but it definitely wasn't in the thinking part. anyway, so yeah, well, I mean, that's about as credible as saying, why don't we just take the 2018 NPR and hand it to Russia and China and say, what in here would deter you and what's not in here that will deter you? I'm sure we'll get a good answer. But yeah, let me take a look at this. So when Curtis said his opinions were not his own and he started going on some rant that was a tangent I wasn't expecting, my opinions are my own. And since I'm the president of NIDS, I have to say my opinions are those of NIDS too. So that's the way it goes, but no one else apparently. So let me shoot three things. So permit me to look at this from an analogy standpoint. So when I was in the artillery, what we would do is we'd shoot at an object and we knew where we could hit. And then what we did in order to be able to fire more rapidly, instead of pulling up the guns and moving them somewhere else, is we would just adjust fire. And so I look at this as an adjust fire place. The question for the Trump administration, now that Curtis has given his foremost opinion on where we should go, maybe you should pass this along, is which one of the NPRs do we want to adjust fire from? And there are good pieces from both of them. But I'll get to the deterrence piece at the end. But my view is, whatever we need to do, in my opinion, the other thing about deterrence is it has to be rapid. And that's why we did adjusting fire. Because if the NPR covers what we're going to do 2 years from now, what the heck is going on for the next 2 years when other rapid developments are occurring? So I like to strategically communicate, and I like that strategic communication to go out today or whenever the administration wishes to impose it, maybe on the 21st of January, I guess. But I want our adversaries to know this is where we're heading. So keep yourselves together. And now permit me to give another analogy. I would say the other thing I find, and I look at the document, the NPR, and I've read the NPR, and I have used AI. Maybe this, Adam, is what you were thinking of. I go to AI and say, see this NPR document? Yeah, give me a 2-page sheet. Now, I know, Adam, you went to a school where you had to read all these things that were sort of irrelevant, but then you got tested on memorizing them, which is different than the school I went to where you did real things and you got tested on whether they worked. And so I took those other courses because I went to a liberal arts college when I was an undergrad. And what I did, instead of reading the Iliad, I read the 1-page Cliff Notes. And then what I did is I went out and read the Cliff Notes to something else, and I was able to pass the test. Perhaps what we need to do with the NPR is shrink it down a little bit and get the Cliff Notes. I can certainly tell you, don't. That's a funny one. Actually, stop, build, this is my priority, without having a 30-page document to leaf through. And so I'm not sure that the way we've been doing the NPR is the most efficient way to communicate that. And then last but not least, I'm going to permit me to do another analogy. And that is that I've been in the academic world. And for those that have done academics, you know, when you get evaluated as an academician, you're evaluated on what's called continuous improvement. You come up with a plan, you do something, and then you keep adjusting to make it better. And what I think is really cool about what's put out here by Madeline Creedon and Franklin Miller is we can do all those things that Curtis talked about, the arguments in the background, the discussion and everything else of what might be a final 2 years out. But we start out with something and we continuously improve it. Maybe it becomes just a continuous process of development with some stable outlines that are fixed. And that would allow us to make a document that adjusts fire as we move forward. Because I think we're in an odd world right now where we are with our nuclear weapons and our modernization, where we've fallen too quickly behind our adversaries. And we got to come up with new ways of getting ahead of them. And so what is deterrence? Deterrence is making sure that our adversaries know that this document and all that we're discussing is done on time sufficient to deter them. And if it's done 2 years from now while we're arguing over, you know, glad to happy and everything else, that's the problem. And that does happen in some of these meetings. It's got to end. The And so maybe 2 years, maybe not good enough. Maybe 2 days. I don't know. I've never been there. Back to you, Adam. That's my suggestion.
So here, you know, here's another idea. So why don't we create strategic ambiguity and just dump the document and not have one? And therefore, we create strategic ambiguity because we have no clearly stated red lines or anything like that. But we do know, you know, that Trump has threatened, you know, what was it, hellfire and damnation on North Korea once.
Fire and fury.
Fire and fury. And so we, you know, there's President Trump is very clearly credible in the eyes of a lot of our adversaries. You know,
and by the way, that wasn't 32 pages.
That, yeah, fire and fury, three words right there. So I mean, I wonder if the NPR is, you know, sort of going the way of the QDR, in the sense that I wonder, do we have like these strategic, you know, we have an NSS and an NDS and an NMS and a NPR and a MDR, and then we have the, you know, the one from state and Homeland Security, and then every administration writes a new one. And I sometimes wonder how useful the whole lot of them is. And even in terms of, you know, messaging, because if you look at the Biden administration, they talked about, you know, removing the hedge and all this and that, and then it ended up being pointless because for, you know, it wasn't even valid when they wrote it. Because the things were already changing when they were, before they published it, it was outdated.
That's my point. Thank you. You were in my head, Adam.
I don't know, Curtis. I mean, you see the utility of it more than I do.
I do. Unfortunately, you know, the QDR was a whole, you know, the world was a different world at that time. We were, you know, the prime superpower, and we could think in four-year cycles. Now we can't. Now we're lucky to think in four. I mean, every 4 months, what we're adding $1 trillion to the deficit. So we can't necessarily think, you know, too far in advance per se. But we have to have a starting point. You have to have a place that sort of begins. And I, you know, I don't disagree that. I'd hate double negative. Sorry. That, you know, we shouldn't have a smaller version. Maybe it could be slimmed down.
I think you're supposed to say, I don't not disagree.
I don't not disagree.
I think that's what
I'm saying. I don't
disagree. Yeah. So anyway, I'm going to lose track here and you're breaking my old man thunder. What I'm more interested though is when I look at the guidance, what I want to see this time, if any of the, Trump authors are out there, is I think we should have the NPR looking at a now and later sort of scenario. There are things that we need to do now to bolster deterrence that we are not doing because the current administration isn't interested in doing some of these things. And specifically in light of the fact that everything is delayed in the modernization or the later part, that you need to address that in such a way. And I mentioned before, I'm less concerned about, you know, the cost or some of the rising cost of the modernization effort, and much more concerned about the fact that everything keeps moving 2, 3, 4 years to the right.
Absolutely.
This is a much bigger problem because even when they move to the right, they're going to get more expensive, and we're not talking about that. We're only talking about that they're expensive now and they're going to be late. And so this is the challenge. And so now we've got to fix this gap that it keeps moving to the right because our industrial complex is for whatever reason, just not able to meet the original deadlines. And I'm not going to pick on all of those folks about what's going on there. But I think this is where prioritization is important in the NPR. And it stems from the national security strategy, which I think is required by law, Adam, and then works its way down into, you know, the defense strategy and beyond. Do we need a national military strategy? I probably would argue maybe we don't, but the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff would probably say, no, that's my document. And I really think we need to have it. So a lot of this is, you know, things that we've always done it this way. And if there's nothing that we, shouldn't walk away with is that the new president elect is interested in perturbing the system. He is not interested in conducting business as usual. And so what I'm asking is that if you're going to change the way we do business, and I'm all for that, it's even more important to explain to the force what you're going to do and what your prioritization is about it. And so again, I say leaving, not producing this document or some version of it or some kind of it that is open and airable and referable to everybody out there. I think we're going to hamstring our domestic work on here as much as our international communications.
Yeah. Hey, Curtis. Yeah. By the way, Cliff Notes. That's what we need. But anyway, yeah. So since I started out with three points,
more than one page, by the way,
maybe it depends. But anyway, going back, I start out with three points. Now I want to make 2 points. So we're getting closer to the end of the show. Okay. So my 2 points, one is that everything said here, remember that a deterrent strategy, 100% deterrent strategy too late is worse than an 80% deterrent strategy, you know, on time. So you got to get there and then you can adjust all of that. So I still think the process of getting to a point of start, however we do that, Curtis, is a good idea. The second piece, though, is getting back to deterrence with this strategy that's laid out in this article. The one thing I think it's missing, and I like to always look at this, is why in the world is it taking so long to modernize? What other impediments? Not having an NPR is not what's reducing our ability to modernize faster. The NPR is not driving that. What's driving that are all the other things that need to be stripped away from the whole process in terms of logistics and oversight. There's too doggone many things that get in the way. And I like the way that that they lay this out and saying, let's just get focused on getting this done and getting it done properly and on time. And that's the other part that comes out of this article that I haven't seen many people addressing. How do we reduce, you know, what used to take, what, four years? I think one of our colleagues had talked about it took 4 years to get all the holes in the ground in 1958, but now it's going to take us 65. I mean, come on, people. You know, we're Americans. We can do much better than that. When's that going to happen?
Well, to Frank Miller and Madeline Creedon's argument here is that we need to just sort of not be sidetracked by that and just focus on getting this stuff done. While I share the sentiment, the reason why this stuff isn't getting done is because we haven't made it a national priority. It is not the number one priority of this nation, much less this DOD, to get this modernization to a point where we can get things that we're not pressuring the industry enough. We're not creating the workers that we need, because frankly, they're just not interested. Because you know, I believe that the administration is not interested in really getting new and more nuclear weapons, current one. So, hold on. And so, a document like this is necessary to be able to convey the president's priorities and sense of urgency. You've got to have it somewhere. You just can't will it to happen. You've got to have a document, a chance for the new president to say, "Hey, this is what is most important to me in my vision of how we're going to protect and defend the sovereignty of the United States and keep the peace and stability of the world."
But I don't think that I agree that conveying that in a document, but I don't think the way we've been doing the NPR is the document that's needed. We need something more streamlined. We need something more focused. The focus should be on what are the, I had to sift through the last NPR to find out where the priorities may have been. That was hard to do because it was all this other stuff around it. Let's just get it whittled down to something easy to follow and move out.
Let's not confuse bad, incohesive strategy for a reason not to have strategy. Okay. We got to put that aside. No, strategy serves, it is both a process and a product. Strategy helps you to identify these priorities and match them with resources, ends, ways, and means, that sort of thing. And then it's a product, right? It is the document at the end that becomes the source guidance for everything else that needs to happen. And that's where I think this is valuable. Does it need to be 5 pages or 50 pages? That's a debate we can have, in my opinion. But I think that we can't the 2018 NPR, probably the best of all of them, is not a perfect product. And the 2022 NPR was written in such a way that it was that the writers had to position themselves. They had to play Twister and put themselves in the shapes of pretzels in order to write that document because the world was in such a way that it didn't allow them to pursue the strategy of minimizing or reducing the prominence of nuclear weapons in our defense strategy. They just couldn't do that.
Is part of the problem not, and this is one thing I don't hear people talk about. So we're having a lot of trouble building stuff. I mean, so we took a 50-year hiatus and we didn't do it. And there's right. no industry that knows how. And when we did it the first time, our, if you looked at defense spending as a percentage of the gross domestic product, it was more than double what we're spending on defense right now. So if you were to double the defense budget and say, you know, pick a company, Northrop, Jacobs, whomever, I want new silos built and I want them built in 18 months. They could do it. They could right. build those silos, but what we do is we say, hey, listen, we want you to build new silos. We want you to extend it over a 30-year period. We want you to build three a year, and we want you to keep the workers, just enough workers to build the three per year, but keep the cost down. We don't want the cost to go up over that 30-year period. And we, you know, but we don't want you to build a base that can do it efficiently because we want it, you know, strung out over 30 years. So therefore it has to be very inefficient to do it over that period of time. And, you know, we want you to constantly be injecting new technology, particularly technology that's never been proven. But we want it to work. And I mean, and by the way, we're going to make you operate under an environmental protection agency that right. didn't exist back then. And that is so painful to do anything. Oh, and oh, by the way, we know we can wipe away all that environmental regulation if we want to on federal land, and we can grant exemptions, and we can, you know, we can create or we can authorize, what is it, the Industrial Relations Act, I think, and we can make a lot of this stuff go away, but we're not going to do that. And then you've got industry that's like, oh man, oh, this is going to, and then everybody.
Where's the profit of this?
Yeah.
I'm just going to get sued. And get, this is where I tell you, this is where Lee Zeldin, who's going to be the next EPA administrator, this is his contribution to national security, if there ever was one.
Yes.
Is how he is going to help the DOD and the contracting organizations that are going to have to do this work out in the, you know, over 40,000 miles of missile fields, in eminent domain and all these sorts of things. This is where this is going to have to really be, supported in such a way. You know, the Chinese just built 300 silos in the Gobi Desert in 2 years. How do you think they did that? Adam.
No NPR.
No NPR.
That's really yeah, that's right.
Great answer. Yes. Well, it's a lot of things. but it wasn't because of their strong EPA and OSHA laws, right? And everything being tested in courts in order to do that. Again, it is the American process. We are our own worst enemy when it comes to this, but these are the costs. And to your point, Adam, we spread out these costs over 30 years and then we can't figure out why, you know, it's so much more. Have you, our listeners, if you have a 30-year mortgage on your home and you look at the real cost of your home over the 30-year mortgage, you'll have paid almost double. For the price of your home.
More than double.
Maybe more.
It's,
right?
Triple.
This is the magic of compounding interest, right?
Yes.
And so, if you had bought it with cash outright, or if you'd financed it on a 15-year loan, you would have cut that cost tremendously.
Yes.
So when we spread out these things over 30 years, it is the yes. same thing. You think you're getting a lower price per year, and you probably are, but in the long run, you're going to end up paying double what you would have
absolutely.
Paid if you had
great
just
analogy.
Done it up front.
Great analogy. And it goes to another point that in their article, they talk about an important thing that we too rarely talk about, and that is tankers and the importance of tankers. And Boeing is sort of the poster child for where bad government policy, right? So it's interesting to watch all these big corporations now are dumping all their DEI and all their sort of woke policies, because the Trump administration has already signaled we don't want that stuff, and so they're dumping it. Well, why do you think they put it there in the first place? Well, a lot of them put it there because they were signaled by the government, we want that stuff there. And so when Boeing was unable to effectively build aircraft and build reliable aircraft, and they had all these problems because they had all these unqualified people building stuff, now you're seeing, well, they can't build tankers for it. And now they're having all sorts of problems. And so government policy, the point here is that corporations are responsive to government policy, whether it's environmental policy or social policy or whatever kind of policy it is, you know, fiscal policy that says build it over 30 years, you name it. Companies are very good at being responsive to the things the government says, do these or don't do these. And if they're bad policies, companies really still have to abide by bad policies. And that's what we've been faced with for years across Republican and Democrat administrations.
Right.
The defense and the, you know, the nuclear supporting enterprise has been given bad policies and bad programs, and they've responded to them. And this is what we've gotten.
So let me add, spot on, Adam. I don't know how to add to any of that per se, but let me say this. I'm really troubled by the fact that, you know, the issue with tankers, ballistic missiles. Did we forget how to make these things? I mean, there's really not any new technology here. I don't understand why it's so difficult. I know the KC-46 has had some challenges, and obviously, the Sentinel program is you know, now delayed and so forth. We've built ICBMs in a lot shorter amount of time.
The ICBMs are not the problem. The missile itself is on time and on task. Well, it's the infrastructure.
The test flight's been delayed.
Well, the infrastructure has been the big problem with it. It hasn't been the missile.
I agree. The infrastructure is something that it sounds like that the services may have missed on this. But I would say that I just don't want us to you know, maybe there's other ways to do this. I mean, SpaceX builds rockets pretty well. I mean, you know, could Elon Musk build an ICBM? I just don't want it to come back and land in its cradle. But
yes, but, yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, but you know, I would imagine that there's other ways to do this. We outsource any of this stuff?
I think the Chinese are interested
pretty well.
The Chinese are interested in building for us. I mean, what could go wrong?
Yeah, what could go wrong? So I'm just here's the thing, America. We're the only free democracy in the Western world that has a bomber, a strategic bomber force, and an ICBM force. We need to know how to do this stuff. We need to be able to do it right and quickly and within a reasonable cost. And we should make this a priority for America. And President Trump should announce in his next NPR that this is the number one priority for the United States and that everything should fall subsequent to that. And that's the only way to not sound like, like I'm borrowing an overused term. And I hate the pun here, but we need a Manhattan-like project to really place the emphasis of what needs to happen here. Otherwise, we're going to see delay after delay after delay and excuse after excuse after excuse. Because in the end, Adam, those who don't want nuclear weapons would love nothing more and for the Minuteman threes to sort of rust in place. And then all of a sudden, there's just, well, we're just going to have to live without them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Jim, so final word.
I do have final word. I want to walk our listeners back just a little bit to the discussion on the mortgage of money with money, because there's another side of this that we don't see, because I don't want to get back into the same situation where we are before, or where we are now. And that is that when you talk about mortgaging, I want to go the other way around. We bought a lot of our bomber fleet and our ICBMs in 1950s, 1960s, and 1970s dollars. So now they are cheap because we have them. But, and you know, so the time value of money goes the other direction as well. And so recapitalizing them is going to take a lot more money to do, to build that out. But it's not a grand, the nice thing is our economy has grown since then. And that's where mortgaging early and buying late is really what we're doing. So this is actually a great cost savings when you look at it from that standpoint. But I think we waited too long. I think we over mortgaged our triad completely. We should have begun this process a lot earlier and gotten on the bandwagon. That's where I don't see us having a strategy to continue where we're heading, instead of, or continue where we should be heading instead of continue where we are heading. So I think this modernization is a drop in a bucket. And then what? Well, we should already be planning on the continuation of effort. So that's my last piece on this. I'll hand it back to
Adam. Right. Next gen ICBM.
You got it.
All right. Well, we are out of time. As always, we want to keep ourselves a drive time podcast, so we'll go ahead and do that. Of course, thanks, Jim, Curtis. Always a good discussion. It was a great article. So thanks, Madeline and Frank, for writing a great piece. It was a great piece. I enjoyed it. And they're we all agree they're you know, from I think they're completely right to Curtis thinks, yeah, they're mostly right. It's a great idea, but let's do it on the short. And Jim says, just write the cliff notes. So
Jim is right. That's all.
And of course, we want to thank you, the listeners, for listening to the NIDS View, and remind you, don't forget about articles on GSR. Read those articles. Go to Think Deterrence. Check out our Twitter page. And, you know, we're recording this on the day after Giving Tuesday. So, if you haven't made your Giving Tuesday donation yet, the National Institutes of Deterrence, I'm drawing a blank. I can't even think right now. I'm forgetting who I am. Right. So
you NIDS, need a refresher course.
Yeah. NIDS, of course, is a 501c3, so you can make a charitable donation just to hear our lovely voices every week. We'd appreciate that.
And deduct it from your taxes before the end of the year.
We're just like a church. We're tax deductible. So God loves us. I mean, he does.
We're a peace organization.
That's right.
Peace through strength.
So, you know, think about that. And of course, as always, thanks for listening. And we want to remind you to think deterrence.
Thank you for listening to the NIDS View. This show is produced under the NIDS Podcasting Network, a division of the National Institute for Deterrence Studies. NIDS is a 501c3 organization dependent upon donations to provide this podcast and bring about awareness of the peacekeeping value of U.S. strength and our national deterrence. You can catch all of our podcasts or provide feedback at thinkdeterrence.com. I would like to thank our producer, Kimberly Charrington, our sponsors, and all the fantastic members of the National Institute for Deterrence Studies for making this podcast possible. Stay tuned next week for another exciting and informative The NIDS View.